Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Conversations Against Living Miserably, a podcast where we try to find solace in a world where our brains are usually against us.
My name is Aaron Gillis, and each week I'll be joined by...
me, Lauren Patterson! Each week we chat to a different guest about how they try and live their life without misery, but we try and do it with a little bit of laughter, because otherwise that sounds like a pretty gloomy idea for a podcast.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Dave, the TV channel, and Calm, the campaign against living miserably. Morning, welcome back. Episode 12 this week of our strange little podcast where we talk to funny people about being miserable. This week's guest is Matt Richardson. Matt is a stand-up comedian, presenter and broadcaster whose Virgin Radio show has been running since 2016. And he's at this year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival with his brand new show, Imposter. I don't think you have to say it like that. I just like the word imposter. Today we speak to Matt about recovery, the reality of living with OCD, and what it means to be normal, as our concepts of normality differ from person to person, don't they really? This is your weekly reminder to please like, subscribe, review, tell people about the podcast, shout about the podcast, tweet about the podcast, constantly just talk about the podcast all the time. At the doctors, talk about the podcast. Going out for lunch, talk about the podcast. Meet your in-laws for the first time? Recommend the podcast. The more people that listen to this weird little show, the more money we raise for Calm. Because all the adverts you'll hear at the start, middle and end, the revenue from those goes straight to Calm. And they are an amazing charity. I'm also just going to do a little shout out. If you've got some spare change in your little pocket or in your bag or just kind of stuck to your face or whatever, wherever you keep your change, you can donate to Calm through their website or go via the Dave website as well. And there's big buttons on there that can let you donate. But I shall stop talking because my voice is terribly annoying and that's why I don't say much during these shows. Here is our interview with Matt Richardson.
Hello, Matt Richardson.
Hi.
Hi. This is my good friend Matt Richardson and also Aaron, who's always here.
I think it's lovely that you're always here. Yeah. I just like to go on record.
Yeah. Hello, Matt. How have you been?
I'm good. I've been good, thank you. How have you both been?
Very good. Very good.
Well,
I thought you were just going to say nothing there.
No, I'm going to sulk for the entire thing now because of
I'm
that.
Just here. So, our first question that we always open with is, when was the last time you felt calm?
Today. I feel I'm pretty calm today, actually.
I think that's a winner.
That is the first time anyone said today.
Really? Yeah. I feel pretty good at the moment. I've had my sertraline today. I'm feeling brilliant.
What is your, like, go-to sort of, if you are feeling tense, what is the thing that's, like, not necessarily guaranteed to calm you down, but you're like, this'll work?
So, I go through loads of things to try and make me calm. Mm-hmm. I have terrible anxiety, as I'm sure you found every comedian does. And, you know, I've got bad OCD as well, mm-hmm. So I've always been on, like, medication for that and stuff. And I've tried everything over the years. I've tried, like, rescue remedy. I've tried all that nonsense. And I found out that actually the best thing is a mindfulness app. And I'm really annoyed because I've spent an absolute fortune and, like, you know, I've managed to get, you know, diazepam from very questionable sources. But that's the best thing. I just downloaded an app for £7 and it helps me sleep. It's brilliant. Like, so if I ever feel bad, that's the thing I go to now. And it's taken me a decade to work it out.
I've been really sceptical to try them.
They're brilliant. Yeah. Breathing exercise and stuff, it really helps. So I work with a guy called Eddie Temple Morris at Virgin Radio, mm-hmm. and he is really big into mental health. And he was the one that just went, breathe in, mate. I do breathing exercise every day. And I went, no, there wouldn't be a whole multi-billion pound industry if you could just breathe your way through it. And annoyingly, he's right. It really helps. So, like, if I struggle to sleep, or if I've got, like, if I'm feeling particularly anxious, that's the best thing. Like, 10 minutes of mindfulness.
Amazing.
Listening to, like, you know, guided breathing exercises. It's so good.
I feel like my boyfriend keeps thinking I'm prepping for a baby because I try to do the breathing stuff sometimes, but I'll be like... And he's like, are you in labour? And I'm like, I am breathing. That's what I'm doing. And he's
I'm
like,
I'm relaxing
okay.
right now, you prick.
This is relaxing breath.
It is weird, though, isn't it? Because, like, my problem is they go, oh, it's a 35-minute breathing exercise. And I go, but I need it right now. Yeah. Like, can I have that breathing exercise in sort of pill form? And I just be like, right, there we go, I'm chill.
Just give me the highlights. Though.
Yeah, exactly. So that annoys me, is when you've got to do, like, 15 minutes. Like, oh, come on. I'm having a panic attack as it goes.
Right now.
Because I had a doctor that gave me this sheet, and it was like all these different breathing exercises. Yeah. And I was looking at it, I was like, I don't need this. I don't know how to fucking breathe. I've been doing it for years. And then I had a panic attack and I got this sheet out that I crumpled up and left in the corner somewhere. I was like, oh, fuck, it's really helpful.
It really works. It's so good, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, I've got these apps, and say if I want to go struggling sleeping or something, you put it on in the bed, and my girlfriend, she's just like, can you listen to someone with a less annoying voice, please? And there's loads of different therapists on this app. Mm. And she's got one. She's like, no, I hate her. We can't have her. No, he's really patronising. So I have to listen to it as well. You have to listen to a voice I like. So that is quite annoying, as you've got someone else always, which actually makes me more anxious.
Yeah, because I did one and it was like a Californian woman with that deep American fry, and it got so annoying after
that. Oh, really?
3 minutes, I ended up more stressed than when I started it.
You're just like, can you have a British person? That's all you want.
Yeah. Exactly. Just
Americans,
like,
aren't really helpful when we want to be calm, are they?
No.
So
I feel like I've got quite a calming accent.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, actually?
Too much hesitation.
No. I was thinking about it then, because, like, you know, you came and did the worst of my tour with me last year.
Yes.
And Exeter to 16 people, and you're a very calming influence in the car with your voice. So yeah, I agree with that totally.
I feel like Geordie Welsh is quite calming.
Yeah,
like
Welsh is calming.
Welsh. Could we have a Glaswegian therapist?
No, absolutely.
Oh my god, yes, please. That would be fucking incredible.
Well, no, because you'd just be terror. You'd be calm because you'd be like, if I don't calm, they're gonna
kill
me.
I couldn't imagine a Brummie one.
No, wasn't that voted the worst accent in the UK?
Yeah, I'd feel
it
like
is,
they
though,
were disinterested.
Like, if people from Birmingham are listening, apologies, but like. Not Birmingham, I think the Black Country, though. Black Country.
Yeah, that one.
But it's not a harsh accent. Like, it's quite calming, isn't it?
It just sounds like everyone's running at 50% speed.
Which is what you need.
Yeah, exactly. When was the first time you became aware of mental health being a thing, be it positive or negative?
I was probably a teenager, so I was probably... it's probably when I started to have issues around it, when I was about 17 or 18. That is when I sort of realised that it was a thing. But I ignored it for years, and it got much, much worse. which is, you know, really helpful. It wasn't until I kind of... I just thought that was me now. I didn't realise it was a mental health thing. Mm. I just thought, oh, my brain's changed, and now I time every single thought I have, and that's just totally normal, which turns out it isn't. So it took me a couple of years until it got really bad that I went to the doctor. And they went, oh yeah, that's this, and you've got a mental health, you know, you've got mental health issues. Yeah. You go, oh,
that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, but I just went, oh, this is just how I am now. Like, my something's changed, and this is how I think and how I operate. So, it took me a little while of actually, probably, you know, suffering with something wrong with me, with you know, obsessive thoughts, that I then had to have someone tell me, no, it's fine, and we can fix it. And I went, no, you can't. This is just
this is me.
Because I think when you are in the throes of, you know, not being very well, you forget what it's like. In the same way that when you have a cold, you forget what it's like to be able to breathe through your nose. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that thing, you lose all concept of what it's like to feel, you know, in air quotes, normal. And yes, you just go, oh, this is it. This is just how I am. This is how I exist. So it wasn't until I started to get better and you sort of forget about it for maybe a week or something. You go, oh, I haven't felt rubbish for a week. That's brilliant. And then you realise that it was a problem. And I think, yeah, that's when I started to realise. So it took me a while.
Totally. I felt like that when I went on antidepressants, and I'd put off going on them for so long. And I was like, this is obviously just how I am. And then I was like, I haven't cried in 4 days. This is
personal record.
What a treat.
Also, I think when you're really down, you just go, well, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's the big problem, is you go, well, I'm not going to do that because it's not going to work for me. And I deserve to feel like this, because that's what anxiety does, doesn't it? Like, you know, and like with me being obsessive, like I was obsessing over ridiculous things. Like I'd watch a documentary about serial killers and I'd spend the next 2 years obsessed with the fact I was a serial killer. But because I, you know, it gives you low self-esteem, I was just like, well, I haven't killed anyone. Oh, that's because you're underachieving.
Not only am I a serial killer, I'm a shit serial killer.
That was it. Rather than going, well, I haven't killed anyone, therefore I'm not a serial killer, your brain's just going, well, you're not very good at it, are you? So you feel bad about that fact as well, which is ridiculous. So I think, yeah, you never think you're going to be better. So I think it's when you start, for me, it was when I started to get better, I went, oh, that was a problem with my mental health rather than how I am now. Mm. So it was a real struggle. And also, my mum is very in touch with mental health. My dad is as well. Like they're actually pretty good. But you don't tell anyone about it because you don't want to admit it to yourself. So no one's taught you. Like, yeah, when people talk about it positively, that's really great, but you don't want to hear it for a while.
No, indeed.
And that's, so it took me ages to work it out. Mm.
Was there something that kind of made you realise that something was wrong and made you want to go to the doctor?
I was driving back from a gig and I had a panic attack, the first ever panic attack I had in my car, because I had all these, so my thoughts were, yeah, like these obsessive things, and something different would trigger it every few months and it'd kind of change. But I would time my obsessive thoughts. So I'd go, right, I've had 18 so far this hour and they've all been on average this many minutes apart. And in the end, that just got too much. And I just had an absolute breakdown in my car driving back from a gig and I had to pull over in a lay-by.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the moment where I went, this is where I need to sort myself out and sort out these whatever's going on in my head.
Your head must have just been so full.
Yeah, it's why I started doing stand-up when it wasn't great. And I loved doing stand-up because on stage, you couldn't think about anything else. You had to think about that.
Yeah.
And I'd come off stage and be like, oh my God, I haven't thought about it for an hour because I've been thinking about the gig, if it'd been good or bad. And so that's why I pushed myself. And I gig so much when I started, just because I felt normal.
Yeah.
So it took me a long time. Whereas actually now, you know, I've been on and off medication and in therapy for forever. And now I know when it's starting. So in December, like, it was starting to creep back in. And within 2 weeks, I was back at the doctor's rather than leaving it 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best thing, is you just get good at knowing when you're going to hit a rough patch.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm really good at it, but I used to be terrible.
It's probably like listening to your brain.
Yeah.
Like, this is far too much information, but you're both my friends. Like I'm at an age now where I'm like, my period's coming. Yeah, in the next 24 hours, yeah, I can recognise these signs. I'm stressed, I'm this. And it's listening to your body. And I've been doing that since I was like, well, for years, but I couldn't do that with my mental health. I'd be like, oh, I'd recognise all these signs and know it was like anxiety or depression or whatever. And I'd be like, nah. And I was so quick. And it's weird how I can listen to my body and know, like, oh, I'm getting a cold. Or, oh, I'm getting my period.
Yeah.
But I was so quick to be like, oh, no, but this obviously isn't. No, this is just fine. But now I can listen to my brain a bit more. I was the same September. I was like, oh, yeah, this is slipping. You're at the top of the slide. So climb down now, because if you wait another couple of weeks, you are going to be face down in the mud. And that's not where you want to be.
Have you ever done that thing? So I do it when, not so much, so about a year and a half ago, I've been triggered, but not like, you know, like something's not like working right in my head anymore. So I go, if it's like this in 4 weeks, then I'll go to the, then I'll go. So I've got, you know, because everyone gets, you know, down and anxious for a week or two, you know, and you're fine again. So for me, I give myself like a deadline and then have to reassess it. And I put it in my diary going, look at yourself in the mirror in a weird way. And that's been better now, I think, is you just kind of, you've got it really. Otherwise, it just makes it such a hassle life.
Oh,
that's a really good idea, just checking in with yourself.
Yeah.
Just making sure you do it.
When I'm good, it's fine. But when I'm bad, I do that.
Yeah, and that's what I don't do. I just, like, I get to that point and get like, oh, this is going to get fucking weird and dark. And then it's like, a month later, it's like, yeah, it got really weird and fucking dark, didn't it? You should probably go to the doctors. And then it's 2 months later, no, I still haven't done it. And it's just
really,
like, yeah, I'm very self-defeatist. It's like going back to that thing of like, I deserve this, you deserve, like, tricking your mind into thinking that you deserve to be in a low place. It's like you were saying as well, when you're on antidepressants, it's like, oh no, this is what I'm fucking supposed to be like.
This is normal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because for me as well, a big deal with all of that is the separation of me and this kind of beast of, yeah. Like, so when I did CBT, my therapist was like, you need to realise, even if you, like, personify it, there's you and there's this sort of, you know, endless thought pattern that's going on in your head. Mm-hmm. And it's really good going, well, I deserve to be like this and all that. It's quite hard sometimes, but you have to go, that isn't me.
Yeah.
That's something, is this mm-hmm. something one's whispering in your ear, that? And I think you accept that, you know, it's like being around people that tell you you're shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's just one of those. But it is really hard to break it and go, oh, I do deserve nice things. It's just I've got this.
Completely, because it's that thing of the irrational mind versus the irrational yeah. mind, and the irrational mind is always so much louder. Mm-hmm. I've always equated it to kind of like a pub. All of my metaphors start in pub, I don't know why. But the part of your brain that is the loudest is the drunk bunch of lads at the bar that are fucking throwing shit around, and that's all you can hear. And even if there's someone sat next to you going, actually, it's okay, don't worry, we're having mm-hmm. quite a nice evening, all you can focus yeah. on is the yeah. absolute arseholes.
Yeah.
And your brain works the exact same way, because it's louder, because it seems more important. Your brain goes, right, well, pay attention to that bit and ignore the thing that's actually telling you, no, go get some fucking help. No,
yeah,
go,
yeah, like, yeah.
give yourself a break.
I think that's such a good analogy. Oh my God, that works perfectly.
Thank you. Right, I'll leave now.
Yeah. I mean, you've solved it. Brilliant, we're done. Right, end of the podcast.
Pub analogies fix everything.
Yep.
Yeah, but that is absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And it's, even if you're having the best conversation with someone you absolutely adore, that's all that's in your head. Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah, I love that. Like, that's like a bit of an epiphany for me. That's such a good way of looking at it.
We're good at epiphanies and existential crises on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have one of each during the 45 minutes.
Well, I've not signed up for an existential crisis, but I'll have one. It's fine.
Yeah. Do you still find that OCD is wildly misunderstood?
Yeah, I really do. And it's quite interesting because having, like, suffered from it, and, like, my OCD is all cognitive. I don't have any physical manifestations. I don't clean, I don't do light switches or anything like that. And that is what people think OCD is. Yeah. You know, it's like cleaning and things like that. Like, I mean, in comedy, there's a massive comedy thing which is like, oh, I'm a bit OCD, oh, I'm a bit anal. And you're like, you're a bit anal. You've, like, OCD, like, I've nearly ruined my life. I thought about killing myself. Like, it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah. You're just tidy. That's
yeah.
When people are like, oh, you know what it's like when you've got OCD? Oh, you've obsessed about the fact you've caught HIV from a handrail and have been for 4 HIV tests in a row until the doctor said they're not going to give you any more because you definitely don't have HIV. But you're telling them that each time you've had a test, you're convinced that you're in the 0.001% that, you know, the test doesn't work for and you get a false reading. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's exactly the same as needing to clean your fucking bedroom, isn't it? That is the kind of trope of OCD, especially in comedy. Especially when I said to friends, I was like, you know, I've had OCD. Like, and I sort of say that I have it and don't have it. Like, I kind of, you know, it's like, for me, I look at it like a virus where you get it sometimes and then you're better or you get food poisoning. And it's just you have food poisoning for 2.5 years or 4 years. It's not like being an alcoholic where you go, I am always an alcoholic. You go, I'm like, oh, I had OCD for a bit and it comes back and it goes again. But I feel like I'm cured when I don't have it. Mm-hmm. It's not like, when I'm good, like, even at the moment, like, I feel like I'm in control of it and it's not really there. So when you say, oh, you know, I've had OCD, and they're like, oh, well, I bet you've got a bloody lovely house then. And you're like, well, no, because, like, sometimes it's so bad that you can't even get out of bed. Yeah. So, like, actually, my house is a shithole when it's bad. Actually, my house is tidier when it's not a problem at all. So I think, yeah, people kind of talk to you like that and you think, oh, there's no point actually talking about it, even though talking about it is the best thing you can do, because then you get some sort of ownership of your, you know, I talk about it loads when it's bad because the more I talk about it, the less bad it gets.
Yeah.
Whereas you feel like you can't, because people go, oh, well, that's not OCD, is it then? Ugh. And you're like, well, it is, because a doctor told me.
I've got a note.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A doctor wouldn't give me these for nothing, would they? These pills that stop you getting an erection for 8 weeks when you first start taking them, they're pretty serious, guys.
Guys, where have you
My
gone?
My palms have been sweaty for 4 years on them, so just leave me alone. They must be working.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Find that using comedy helps you to kind of either just for yourself or to explain it to other people.
Yeah, in life, yeah, because yeah. I like really make fun of it, and you know, but I don't have. I've gotten more of a sense of humour about it as I've gotten older. When I was young, it wasn't funny at all, and I wouldn't really like people making fun of it in a way. But now, yeah, it's fine. It's just taken me a little while to grab that handle on it, own it, and I think that's been the real struggle: is not letting it be in charge. I'm very well, I always say it like it's a thing, like it exists. But for me, yeah, like being funny about it is a thing. Like I'm writing a show at the moment and this is the first time I've ever talked about mental health on stage because I've never talked about that really. All my jokes are about, you know, just willies and fannies and
they are,
shit,
I did it too,
mostly. Yeah, yeah. It's just basically me like wanking an air cock for an hour. Whereas this is the first time I've kind of gone, oh, that's an interesting thing to talk about and like touch on it. And especially with being friends with someone like Lauren and seeing her do stand-up where she talks about it loads, I've gone, oh, actually, that's really funny and a really good way of dealing with it, and actually it's really relatable because everyone suffers with it at some point in their life, I think, or my friends anyway, I think. So it's gone, oh, that's a way I can relate to people, because, you know, like, not everyone relates to the stuff I talk about. That's always been a trouble. Like, I've been doing a joke about Enya for 3 years and no one likes it. Because no one gives a shit about Enya, but people really relate to anxiety.
I didn't realise, and this is my own ignorance, yeah. that when I was reading the DSM-5 while I was researching my book, that OCD is a type of anxiety.
Yeah.
But I never knew that when I was like, because I was quite ignorant about it as well. And I think when it comes to kind of like, we're finally talking about depression, we're finally getting there with anxiety and people are starting to realise. But I feel like OCD is still kind of tucked away. And there is that cliched tidy in.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And but it doesn't help.
Yeah, to me, OCD is just obsessive anxiety. Like your brain just really latches onto it, and you know it's really hard. I think it's a spectrum, isn't it? I guess like with all mental health, like, and I think it all falls on the same spectrum as bulimia and anorexia. That's an obsessive behaviour. So it's all within the same kind of garden of thinking. But yeah, people don't talk about it as much, and like it's just weird because there's so many different forms of it, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And everyone's unique. So I think that's why people haven't quite gotten hold of it. Whereas anxiety is a really nice banner that I would put OCD under quite happily. Mm-hmm. It's just that I know that I'm like obsessive about things, but I always have been. Even if it's a good thing, I'm obsessive about it. But that's not a problem because it's a good thing. Like if I'm really into something, I'll get obsessed. But everyone's like, oh, how great. He's just really determined. whereas, you know, you can also sometimes be determined about being really horrible to yourself inside your head. And that's the only difference, I suppose. And yeah, but I think it's fine to say that it's anxiety and it's a bit tucked away because it is this kind of obsessive cleaners thing, which is just what everyone thinks all the time when they think about it, which is fine, I guess, because people are still talking about it. It's just if you don't fit that example of it, then people are like, well, that's not what that is. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, but my note still.
Is it 8 years between you and your brother or more?
Yeah, eight years between us.
Do you think your like brother has grown up in a different world in terms of mental health? Like a bet, like the fact it's more open, or do you think it's tougher?
Yes, I think definitely. And my brother's got autism, and he's really in charge of his own autism and like knows loads about himself, and made an amazing sort of short film about it, and now is an ambassador for the National Autistic Society and has been since he was 18. And I, like, at 18 I wouldn't have felt comfortable like wearing it on my sleeve like that. Mm. I think I'd have been, it's much more stigmatizing than it is now. And I think I didn't have the confidence to do that, and I didn't, you know as much, because my brother had much more support, because his autism isn't what defines him, whereas I was afraid that it would define me. In the same way that labels are becoming less and less important, I suppose, in every aspect of life, be it, you know, sexuality or things like that, I think people are just much more comfortable to go, hey, this is what I am. Whereas I think 10 years ago when I was 18, it probably wouldn't have been like that as much. Mm-hmm. And 20 years before that, it wouldn't have been even more. I don't know. These are the first time I'm hearing these words as I'm saying them. So I'm not sure if they work or not.
No, definitely. Like, I was saying to you in the pub yesterday, my nephew's primary school has a counsellor.
Yeah.
So the kids have access to a counsellor. And I'm like, that's incredible. Like, for the kids to have access to a counsellor, I'm like, that is incredible. And they don't know she's a counsellor. They just think it's Tracy or whatever her name is. But just to encourage people from that age to be like, let's talk about how you're feeling. Are you sad? That's fine. Let's talk about it.
And it's more important in a deprived area because if you go to an affluent school, you know, people tend to be more in touch with different treatments and different things that are out there. But if you come from a deprived area...
We love bottling shit up.
Yeah. but you don't know that there's access to all those helpful things. And as you get older, you don't have the money to go, oh, well, I've bottled things up for too long. I'll just go and do 6 months of intensive treatment.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford to. So it's so important that it happens in those areas.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, from a young age, you need to talk about mental health in the same way you talk about, oh, if you break your arm, this is what you tell an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to talk about those things. If we deal with it at a younger age, there'll be far less issues with it when we're older. I think, you know, now that, you know, there's an age of people in their 30s that are really good at talking about it, it's because they grew up when it wasn't okay. So finally they're in charge and they can talk about it. And there's way more people that have got problems that maybe could have been helped if they were younger and, you know, dealt with it then.
I've got visions of my nephew in 10 years' time when he's 18 just, like, completely psychoanalyzing me because he's going to have had access to all this amazing, like, being brought up in this world where it's so open and so good to talk about it. And he's going to sit me down and be like, Auntie Lauren, we have a lot to unpack here. Like, come on, talk to me.
Auntie Lauren, have you talked about how stand-up may be a form of you channeling your narcissistic personality disorder? Shut up! You're nine!
I got you lots of nice Christmas presents with that comedy.
Yeah, exactly. it is true, though, and I think it's brilliant that there's all this thing of... you know, people can be gender non-binary when they're young. I know the papers go mad about it. But those things, if you just, like, they're kids and they don't care. They've got no judgment to them. Whereas when adults go, no, you're a boy, you're a girl, you're gay, you're straight, you're this. Like, whereas if you just go, just be kids and just, and I think we're better at that with kids now, which I think will mean people are healthier mentally when they're much older. Whereas, like, you know, like, I didn't know that, you know, you could not be, like, a boyish boy and that's fine when I was younger because I wasn't into football and I played with all the girls and so much so that I was an honorary girl called Doris. And when I was nine, like, 8 or 9, and, like, that doesn't matter. Like, I knew I wasn't a girl and I didn't feel like a girl, but, like, I knew it was all just fine. But the teacher sat me down and they're like, you do know that you are a boy. And I was like, yeah, but, like, I'm just playing with my friends. And that made me feel weird about myself, which must, you know, have an impact on you later on, because I then felt awkward about being me.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, and I didn't like football and, like, my grandparents thought that was weird and used to call me weird and things like that. And
weird little Doris.
Whereas I think now, yeah, exactly. Whereas now, I think if kids are like that, we're much more adept at going, all right, well, you just do you and crack on and you'll work out who you are.
Yeah.
And that's much better now. So, I think kids are growing up in a better place.
Are you having fun? Are your actions physically hurting anyone else? No. Cool.
Exactly.
Carry the fuck on.
That's how everyone should live, and I think we'd all be much happier for it.
Exactly.
Is anyone getting hurt or dying? Yep. Are you making anyone sad? Well, you wear what you want, you do whatever the fuck you want, and
have
you shag who you want as long as they want to shag you back.
Exactly.
That's all it is, isn't it? And then I think life would be much easier.
It's not a complicated thing, really.
No, I think there's a lot, especially in Britain, there's a lot of suppressing of feelings and emotions, and it comes out in an awful way.
Oh, completely. Like, especially when it comes to mental health as well, that whole kind of thing of men are always kind of bottle it down and keep it down, and then it comes out in the worst ways, which are usually like self-destruction, any form of addiction, or violence.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And you can't keep saying to people, right, you can't talk about this thing, or you must keep this inside, or no, fucking boys don't cry, and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get you anywhere. Just like you say, fucking have a laugh, chat to whoever you want, don't hurt anyone physically or emotionally, and fucking don't be a dick. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, just don't be a bellend. And I think we're starting to embrace that grey area in every aspect of life, whereas everything was so binary before. Like, whereas actually now, like, all these people are like, oh, I'm pansexual, I'm gender fluid. You're like, brilliant. If that makes you happy, you crack on. If that's how you feel and living like that makes you comfortable and is good for your mental health, you do it.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't make you happy, don't do it. And then them doing it doesn't affect you. Because I think people who get angry, like, you know, a lot of like right-wing people in American things that are so offended, you know, so homophobic or so racist, just like, it's because they've got so many deep-set issues themselves.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But they're not adept at dealing with them properly. Whereas you're like, actually, you show me, you know, you show me a gay conversion priest, I'll show you someone with a secret Grindr account. That's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, every single time. And it's always the kind of those priests that come out as like, oh, they've been shagging this bloke for the last 10 years and spent 10 million quid covering up. It's like, oh, you could have just done it for free.
Like, no one
and
cares.
Not being a dick. Yeah, exactly.
Like, and if your family and the people around you care, move. Just go somewhere else that's much more chilled out.
Get new friends.
Yeah. Go bang who you want.
Absolutely. Like, being gay is brilliant if that's what you like. If you don't like it, don't do it. But if you like it, you just fuck him. Like, you shag away, mate. Like, go to Old Compton Street. I mean, it's brilliant. Like, it's great.
Oh, yeah,
great
completely
fun.
Utterly. Some of the best nights I've ever had out.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, exactly.
But it is. It's just honesty. Honesty with oneself. Honesty with one's mind.
Yeah.
It's just something that a lot of people find hard to achieve. But the moment you can start talking about it, being open with it, you start to quantify it in a way that you haven't been able to do yourself before.
Yeah.
I always find that kind of writing and speaking about it really helps because you're putting it into words that you then can... That are tangible.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your brain is always just tricking you. Like, you start on a nice epiphany and your brain goes, no, let's just hide that away.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about it, like, I get verbal diarrhea.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you today? Oh, I'm really not doing very well, actually. I was just doing all this stuff. And then you have a nice little moment. You can go, actually, fuck me, that felt great. That's out in the world now.
Well, I think the thing that is important as well is you always feel like no one else... Everyone else is fine, especially these days with social media and all that nonsense. So as soon as you go, oh, actually this, someone will go, oh my God, me too. And you go, oh, thank God for that. Like, thank God you're doing awful, you know, in a horrible way. But I think you feel really lonely about it. And you do convince yourself, you're like, no, this is just me. No one else is like this. Everyone else deserves a much better life than me, whereas I deserve all of this and I deserve not to be happy. Whereas everyone goes through that, or you know at least 10 people that are. So if you just go, you know, to your very good friends, I would struggle to do it with... everyone, but that's me personally. But if you go, oh yeah, actually, like, today's a bad day, because then they'll say that to you, and everyone feels better, and it's you can battle it together.
Yeah, exactly. How do you find like opening up to your friends and stuff? Are you good at it or terrible at it? You
know, I've gotten good at it. Yeah. I was bad, and then the last time, you know, I wasn't doing great. I didn't really realise it. I was in my own head about it and kind of, you know, like struggling. And I saw a friend who I'm happy to talk to about anything, and I hadn't seen him for months. And he was like, how are you doing? And I went, oh, actually, not great. And that's the first time I'd admitted it to someone else. And it took one of my mates to go, how are you? Come on, let's chat. And like, I mean, I wasn't looking very healthy, and I was probably drinking way too much at the time, which is how I can sometimes deal with things, which actually makes it worse. But it was him just going, oh, are you all right? And you go, oh, no. Oh, you've looked into my soul. I feel naked. But it was brilliant. And he went, mate, let's just chat about that. Like, it's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. And he was in a good enough place to be able to, you know, take the burden of me talking about it, which is really important. Whereas I think if he wasn't in a good enough place, he'd been like, look, I know that you're not good, but I can't handle it right now. Yeah. So let's talk to someone else about it, which is what a good friend would do. And I've been in places before where I've had friends in not a great place. And I'm like, I really want to help them, but I'm not in the right frame of mind to do it, which is fine. But it's talking to friends is what helps me out, really. And like talking to my parents as well, like, because I think no matter how old you get, mum and dad can still make everything better.
100%.
So I talk to my mum and dad about it. And then I'm like, oh, I've told a grown up, so it'll be fine. And then it's always much better after that because, you know, the adults are dealing with it, not me.
How has your relationship with mental health or misery changed throughout your life?
It's gotten better as I've gotten better at dealing with it. And also, I think I don't really see it as a problem anymore. Like, I know, like, I don't ever think I'm ill. I just think that, you know, I need to sort it out. You know, it's something that I can fix and I can work on. And I've just been much more proactive at, you know, dealing with it rather than letting it get bad before I sort it out. Like, actually, I think it's a constant maintenance thing. And it's all right to not be very good, and it's okay to ask for help. And even at work before, like, I've got a really great boss at the radio, and I've been like, look, I've taken this medication, I've just gone back onto it. It makes me a bit weird for a while, like, you know, not that you need to know, but there is nothing going on downstairs. or there's loads going on and I don't know why. Either or. It goes between the two. Like, Guys, I've had an erection for 4 days. So just so you know, my radio show may be affected because it's going to knock the mic out the way.
Why are you hovering 6 foot above the desk, Matt?
Matt, why are you walking like you're in pain? Because I am. why are you wired but yet look like you haven't slept for 8 days? That'll be the medication. And he was just like, mate, that's totally fine. He goes, I get it, not a problem. And he's just like, oh, this isn't... Like, whereas I think for you, your battle is much more of a big deal because it's yours. Whereas other people go, mate, totally get it, not a problem. And then you go, oh, if you think it's not a big deal, then maybe it isn't a big deal and maybe I can get on top of it. So having people like that around you is really good. And like, that's helped me with dealing with it myself, is realising that other people don't think it's a big deal. So I shouldn't think it's such a big deal. Whereas I think probably I always have thought it's a way bigger deal. But that's also because I'm a drama queen as well. Like, I'm so dramatic that I'd be like, oh, well, this is me now. Like, I'm just going to live like this and suffer because that's what I'm like. I'm in a disposition to think that all my things are massive when they're not.
We've got about 5 minutes left. Would you like to ask the last question?
Yeah. So if you could go back to, like, your younger self and give some advice on mental health or, like, living without any misery, what would you tell yourself?
I think with mental health, I'd say go and get it sorted quicker. Don't sit on it. Don't think it's normal. Don't accept that this is it now and you're going to live like this and the only option would be maybe, like, suicide, which has been a very real option before for me in the past because I thought that would be the only way to stop, you know, everything that was going on in my head. Just don't accept it. Don't lie down and accept it. This is normal and this is fine and this is happening to everyone else out there. Like, it's not just you. And I think with living without misery, I think it would be to tell them that misery comes in different forms. And actually, misery can sometimes be okay, as long as it's a certain type of misery. But, like, a constant misery that you're trying to suppress is something that you need to sort out. And it can be helped. And there's so much help out there. If you ask for it, that's all you need to do. And your life will be 10 times better and you'll spend much more time happy.
Lovely. That was a good one.
Thanks for having
you.
Me. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Lovely. We hope you can take something from this podcast away with you in your day-to-day life. Whatever situation you're in, you're not by yourself. We can share our stories, share our experiences, we can help each other know that things do get better.
And that's episode 12. Thank you to Matt for being so brilliant with us. If you'd like to catch him live in Edinburgh, in real life, not catch him with a net, just like catch a glimpse of him, you can see his new show, Imposter! At the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. That's right. I read the same sentence twice. But yeah, new show, Imposter. Thank you to Lauren, who's also at the Fringe this year, but for one night only with her show, Peachy. So just have a bit of a Google of Lauren's name if you wanted to see her. I think it's probably sold out by this point because it's a one-off show, but you never know. I will also be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, but I'm not funny. So I'll just be wandering around a bit drunk and sad, probably. Thanks to Dave and Calm for letting us make this silly podcast, and thanks to you for listening, because without you, it's just a comedy writer and a stand-up trapping people in a room and talking at them about being miserable, which is just weird. Just a weird concept when you lay it down like that. As usual, I will ask you to like, subscribe, rate, review, whatever you do to do these little podcasts. The more people that listen, the more money that we get to raise for Calm. Which is why we're here, to raise some money for an amazing charity. And also, talk about things that people don't really want to talk about in a relaxed and something else, another word for relaxed, calm. Oh, I forget the word calm. I only say it about 16,000 fucking times during these intros and outros. Anyway, that's enough from me. Come back next week if you fancy it. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. Bye, 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 bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Would you give your mom, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video.
Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.